Well done. I felt like you guys were holding back a little bit when Elder Robert said, we're going to the movies in 2 weeks. Can you believe we're going to movies? We're going to see the new Jerry Camp movie. This is crazy. It ain't going to cost you nothing. This is great. You buy your own popcorn. This is going to be great. I am looking forward to that. That was an amazing story. I mean, a lot of us kind of lived through the whole thing happening, and you'll get to see what happens in the movie version of it. But incredible story, and we are very anxious to take you guys there, just like we enjoyed I Can Only Imagine and several other movies before that. So really looking forward to doing that in 2 weeks. So we have another week. I'll be here next week to finish this, but you'll hear more about that in a second. Studying the life of David. I knew, I think it was over a year ago, that I really wanted to speak about the life of David. And when I knew that I was going to make that a series going through the life of David, I said, you really can't start talking about David. You have to start talking about what happened before him, the story of King Saul. And we've been at this for almost a year, and we're getting near the very, very, very end of this study. Last week, we examined our author, Samuel. He's the one who's chronicling all this for God in the Bible. We studied his concluding excerpt of the book of 2 Samuel, the last bit that he recorded there. And Samuel, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, again, this is a spiritual thing that's happening. The book you hold in your hands, that Bible, is a supernatural thing that has been created by God. There's spiritual magic in there. This is not just a collection of words. Everything that is there was inspired by the Holy Spirit to its authors. And Samuel, last week, we saw that he chose to end 2 Samuel with some very practical, very pedestrian insight about living a life for God. Samuel used an episode from David's life to show us that life with God will include times of mistakes. It's going to include times of correction from God. It's going to include times of forgiveness. And then a resuming of our journey with God, a keeping going, a keeping on with God. Now, we've already established that these last four chapters of 2 Samuel, they're not chronological. These are not chronologically laid out, but they are instead really an appendix in which Samuel is including important moments in David's reign. And now we close our study of 2 Samuel looking at two items. The two items we're going to look at is Samuel the prophet's literary summation under the inspiration of the Spirit, his summation of David's life, and then actually David's actual final last words, the last words of the shepherd boy that we watched become Israel's greatest king. Now, just to let you know, I thought I could preach through all this in one night. They said, smile more. Mr. Kelly told me, you need to smile more from the pulpit. But I'm very intense when I talk, so believe me, I like to laugh. Believe me, go on a motorcycle ride, you'll hear nothing but giggles. Okay, by Wednesday this week, I stopped fighting with myself, and the inevitable was to split this study into two parts. I have learned that after 18 years of studying the Bible and preaching it every week, you really miss a lot. You miss a lot by rushing through a passage just because you want to get to the end. And I think it works the same way with your personal Bible studies as well. You know, we're all doing our daily devotions, and sometimes we want to hit our allotment for the day. Okay, I got this many chapters. I want to get to this. So we rush. We rush through it. And that's a big mistake, because there are some very subtle and powerful insights sitting right there in front of us that God had recorded divinely for us to try to make a statement to us and teach us. So he wants us to examine all these things fully, and that's what's going on here, why this study is going to take two parts. So we'll call tonight David's Last Words, Part 1. All right, here we go. Now let me set the scene. Incredible scene, just to let you know. This is one of the most cool scenes in the entire Bible. I just love this scene. The Bible does this remarkably and beautifully, setting this scene for us. But to do this, we have to cheat a little bit. We have to peek into the first chapters of the next book, 1 Kings. But we're going to do it. Here we go. 1 Kings chapter 1, this is the first four verses. King David was now very old, and no matter how many blankets covered him, he could not keep warm. So his advisors told him, "Let's find a young virgin to wait on you and look after you, my lord. She will lie in your arms and keep you warm." So they searched throughout the land of Israel for a beautiful girl, and they found Abishag from Shunem, and they brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she looked after the king, and she took care of him. But the king had no sexual relations with her. Stop right there. Friends, this setting, the picture that is recorded here for us, I find it incredibly profound. It's very colorful, isn't it? David is old. Old. And he's in bed. He's in his royal palace. Picture that. He's in his royal palace. He's in that bed. And we are told that he is relentlessly and uncontrollably cold. Can you just picture this? I can picture this so beautifully. And here he is, David, the once unstoppable guy. The dynamic, do anything, super capable, immensely handsome, and daring little Iron Man is now losing the only battle of his lifetime. And he's losing it to Father Time. Our hero no longer has any energy. He no longer has any strength. Instead, he lays heavily covered in his royal bed. David's once powerful muscles have turned from steel to jello. His full red hair has turned a stark, bland white. And his battle now, after all the many battles, is to simply fight to get warm. I like to use this a lot with my kids when I'm cold. And let them know when I'm laying there on my recliner with that Afghan up to my neck, I could be dying like old King David. A little cold in here, a little hard. And I set that scene for them. But now this scene, we have to remember, there are advisors around. Did you catch that? There are advisors who came up. They're going to come up with a solution for David. The fix for their beloved king, that we must find the most beautiful woman, the most unmarried, beautiful young woman, have her lie down under the heavy covers with David, saddle up right alongside of him, and keep him warm. I am so glad the Bible recorded this for us. Isn't it amazing? Thank you, Lord. This is amazing. I mean, what an incredible piece of information we are given. It's amazing. I find this moment and I find this idea to be a great paradox. That is because this is an incredibly beautiful idea the advisors have, and it's also profoundly stupid. It is so inept, and it's wrapped up in both so incredibly, isn't it? Great try, I mean, but not going to work. I bring this to your attention because it's burned in my mind since I was a young boy and read this as a child. And I just want to leave this picture in your mind. I'm not going to talk about it much. For whatever effect the Spirit wants it to have on your own heart. For me, this text has painted a mental picture in my mind that is unforgettable. I'll always picture David's death right there like that. But it also has embedded some simple truths that are unquestionable. And they're profound. Truths like this. Hey man, everything ends. David lived 70 years. That's it. 70. A long life though. David lived a long life. Everything ends though. Nothing goes on forever, no matter what. Even old David. Truths like our mortal bodies, they're going to all deteriorate. Don't make your life about your physique. Don't make your life about your beauty, because it's going. Another truth. Strength is going to give way to frailty. Make the most of your abilities while you have them. Do what you can do while you can do it. I could keep going, but I'll let that passage and what that whole picture, that painting speak to you. The truth I want to call your attention to is the fact that David's old age is really a miracle. It really is a miracle in itself. Think about it. David has cheated death more times than Captain Kirk. Really. David took on bears and lions with his bare hands as a boy and lived to talk about it. Cheating death. David goes toe-to-toe with a giant that no one would go near. No one's going near Goliath. Even the king himself, head and shoulders above all the people, wouldn't go near him. David goes after him, takes him out. David avoids King Saul's entire army. The entire army of Israel is after David. And David avoids them. They had a death sentence on him for who knows how long. David avoids them for years and years. And let's not forget the innumerable hand-to-hand fights David had in battles. They didn't fight with guns. They fought hand-to-hand, sword-to-sword. David was huge in battle. Never lost. David is old, and it is a miracle and a blessing that he got there. He should have died many times over in his epic life adventure. But of God's many blessings to David, God gave David the gift of a long life and the blessing of him being able to cross over the great river by natural causes. Point one, God gave David the gift of a long life. Now, we have people here tonight who have been given this same blessing by David, a long life. God tells us this in Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. They will call on me. I will answer. These are people he loves. I will be with them in times of trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Here we go. I will reward them with a long life. And I will give them my salvation. Now, interesting. Think about this. How God identifies a long life on earth as a reward. God is saying it is a special gift to be given extended life here on earth. I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have thought that. You'd think being with God as soon as possible, that would be a reward. But God sees our time here as valuable. God sees our time here as important and to be cherished, a gift. Friends, the key to embracing life here, especially in the later years, which God is identifying as a gift, the key to unlocking that gift is how we invest that time. Are we treating it like it is a treasure or are we not? It's funny. When we started Westbridge Community Church, the church experts at the time, they said you have to identify and you have to hone in on a target audience. Heard you. You must choose, they told us. You must choose an age group that you're going after. And you have to design your services to reach that group, that age group you picked. Well, I have to tell you, that did not work for us. It didn't work at all. When we targeted teens, we got parents to walk through the door. When we targeted young couples, we got established families walking in. And when we targeted youth, we got seniors. The whole marketing strategy that we were told was a total flop for us. And when people ask me now, hey, Pastor Drew, you're at the conference here. How's the church doing? Oh, doing all right. What's your target audience? Oh, yes, my target audience. I'm glad you asked. I said, I'm going after 8 to 80. Going after them all. Going after them all. Don't want no 7s, don't want no 81s. Nope, I want 8 to 80, I want all of them. I want everybody I can get. Let me tell you, we would not be in this room tonight, and Westbridge may not have kept running, if it weren't for some key seniors who got us out of the public school system. The schools kept canceling us every single Saturday for the month of December one year, the day of school, of church. Church ain't gonna run long if you're not showing up for a month. But there were some key seniors who got us into this building where they never canceled us. Westbridge, I have seen seniors who use 99% of their time, 99% of their effort, 99% of their energy to run with Jesus and run for Jesus. And I'll tell you honestly, those people who are giving 99% of all they have to God, they're happy. They're happy, joyful people, excited seniors, I'm telling you. Their advanced years are a blessing to their family and to God's family because they invest the time God has blessed them with to work with and for Jesus. And that's the truth. Now, I went to a party last week, and I was surprised at the party because a name came up that I'll just be honest, I totally forgot about this name. I just forgot, met a lot of people. The name came up last week, and it took me back. It was this person. Now, I met, that's Miss Candy. I met Miss Candy at one of those parties. Years ago. I didn't know the lady. We went there to a park, over Lopat Park, I think, and she was in a wheelchair. She came up, and I met her for the first time. We talked. And then later we played volleyball, and she's on the volleyball court standing up, spiking the ball. And I'm like, what do we have? What, a healing that I didn't know about? Did somebody come up with a healing? She goes, no, I'm sick. I'm sick. I could stand up, though I can walk around a little bit, but I'm very sick. And we laughed, and we became good friends. Me and Miss Candy, we laughed about it to this day, but I laugh about it to this day. Good old Miss Candy, she started coming to church. Couldn't get away from church. Every time we opened the door, she was here. Every time we did anything, Miss Candy was here. And she was sick. She was very sick. Sicker than I thought she was, and she was really sick. And that picture right there is how I'll always remember her. You know where that's at? That's the fair. She was always at the Warren County Fair. She would come in her wheelchair, and she would sit next to that tank of helium, and she would fill up balloons and smile like that. And there she is doing that, cutting string for those balloons. That's how I always remember how Miss Candy spent her time with what God gave her. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, give yours away. He never said at what age you need to do that, because it works for any age. It works for seniors just as well as anybody else. Our years are a gift from God, and if you want to reap God's blessing, if you want to reap God's blessing in this life he's telling you is a blessing, then go and be a blessing. Love on people. Give out balloons. Tie up paper. Smile like her. She talked. You couldn't get Miss Candy to stop talking. But you know what? I'd rather have somebody talking to me than somebody just staring at me. Join a ministry. Set up food downstairs. Join Kids Bridge. Teach young people. Make people's lives better for you being there. Bring them something. I remember at the fair this year, Mr. Steve shows up with 3 trays of tacos. When you're at the fair and someone brings you food, this is like bringing water to a person dying in the Sahara Desert. Just being a blessing. It's Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. Making people's lives better. Pray for people. It doesn't matter where you are at, whether you can get around, what you can do, you can pray for people, and then you can tell them about it. Send them a text. Text them when you're praying. I'm praying for you. Be a helper in any way you can. Let me leave you with this. Ask yourself this question. Answer it this week. What percentage of your time, what percentage of your effort, and what percentage of your energy do you use to run with and for Jesus? How much is for him? How much is for other stuff? Because let me tell you, the more that percentage goes up to what you serve in Jesus, the happier you're going to be. Trust me. Test me. I'm happy serving Jesus. The more I serve him, the happier I get. The less I serve him, the more annoyed I get with the way things are out here. One life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's move on. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're back to 2 Samuel. I want to read this to you first in the King James. This is the epitaph. This is Samuel closing it out. He said, now, these be, he must have been a pirate, the way this is written. These be the last words of David. Arr. David, the son of Jesse. Here we go. The man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Let me read this to you in the Good News translation. David, the son of Jesse, was the man whom God made great, whom the God of Jacob chose to be king. Hold right there, because I don't want to miss these. Like I said, don't rush past these. We are told here the summation of who David is. The first section tells us this. He was chosen by God, and he was made great, or God made him great. God made David great. David was no different than you and me, my friends. You need to remember that. He did not possess any talent that wowed God. David didn't have any talent that wowed God. He didn't possess any superhuman anything in himself. And he didn't have the ability to take down lions, tigers, and bears, and giants. He didn't have that. David was mortal as you and me. But what David did have, what made David great, was the power of the Spirit of God. And David knew it, and he said it. About lions and bears that he killed, David said, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine. It was the Lord, not him. About killing Goliath, David said, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies, of the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. He says, who? Today the Lord will conquer you. Not David. The Lord will conquer you. And I will kill you and cut off your head. Then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. But not with the sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. David had been chosen by God and then empowered by God to do the things that made him great. The key that unlocked the greatness that David had is that David believed. He believed God chose him. He believed God would work through him. And friends, God isn't done choosing his Davids. God is not done. He is not done working through more Davids. Jesus is telling all his followers, that means you and me. Here's what Jesus is talking. God himself talking to you and me. John 15:16. You didn't choose me. Oh, this is sounding familiar. David was chosen. Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Paul, again, confirms your status as you are selected by God. He says, you are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. David was chosen by God, and you have been chosen by God. And what is the purpose that God chose you? What did he choose you for? Here it is. For we are his workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I had a conversation recently with a person. I had a chosen one. I had a conversation with this person, and they are having visits. They are having visits to this day with a loved one who has been told that their end is near. So my friend, was telling me that they feel inadequate to answer the questions and the objections that their sick loved one is hitting them with. I told them not to worry. I said, don't question that you might be inadequate. I assure you, you are totally inadequate. You be inadequate. I said, you don't stand a chance of making God look good. I know you. You don't stand a chance of making God look good, but guess what? Neither do I. I don't stand a chance of making God look good. That's not how it works. You see, it's not our smarts. It's not our wisdom or our savvy that does anything. Instead, it's God supernaturally working through us that will bring about great results. And that's an important thing to get right. You can't mess that up. Remember, Samson had no strength that God required from him. Instead, we find out, don't we, Samson's strength was given to him by the Spirit of God. The 12 disciples, the big 12, they were textbook non-men of greatness. Fishermen, nobodies, some illiterate. But on the day of Pentecost, that's when God sent his Spirit, rushed into their bodies, and it gave them power to serve God like never before. It gave them an ability to speak. All of a sudden, they could talk well and speak God's truth. It gave them the courage to stand the opposition that would come at them, and the opposition came at all of them. All of them were either killed or tried to be killed. No, what we see in the life of David and confirmed out of David's own mouth is point two. David was made great by God. Not God being made great by David. Westbridge, all God wants from us, all he wants from you and me, are willing hands and obedient feet. If we think we have something to offer beyond that, then we're incorrect. I have seen people. I've sat right in those seats and seen people shred a guitar. Shred it. And God wasn't in it. I have seen people who were great orators speak for God, and God didn't bless them. I have seen grand plans, huge campaigns that God didn't show up for. But I have also seen God bring great things out of a humble servant handing out a single refrigerator magnet. I have seen God bring great things out of an obedient servant with a handful of blue bags. And I have seen greatness out of a smiling God follower handing out a cup of lemonade. Friends, the power to bring about great things is all God's. The power to bring about great things is all God's. Final summation of David's life. Here we go. Verse 1 tells us this. David, son of Jesse, was the man whom God made great. We know that. Whom God, the God of Jacob, chose to be king. We know he was chosen. And here we go. The final piece of summation. David, who was the composer of beautiful songs for Israel. Interesting. Of all David's accomplishments, of all that David had in his life, the only mention here of David's things he did was his contribution to Israel's worship arsenal. David, the dancing king, the harp player, the songwriter, the worship singer, David, the one who left us well over 100 songs and wrote who knows how many more in total, that David is the one who Samuel gives an epitaph that highlights David's promotion and David's advancement of praise and worship in the life of Israel. Point three tonight, David left them singing. Or you can even say, even write that better. David left them worshiping. What an incredible thought. To leave this world as they sing praise to God. To travel to heaven, hearing the people use the very words that you penned to love on the Heavenly Father. David, we're told, who was the composer of beautiful songs for Israel. I wonder, hey David, did you write the song that Jesus himself would sing in Matthew 26:30? You can look it up. Jesus sang. David, did you pen the song that the apostles sang in Acts chapter 16:25? The song that ushered in an earthquake that freed them? Friends, we are singing David's songs to God to this very day. Better is one day in your courts than many others. I know for me, when I read that about David, that's how I want to leave the world. I want to leave the people I came in contact with singing, worshiping God. I want to leave them in love with him, not me. I just want to get out of the way. Let them worship him. I want to leave people singing about how great God was when he entered into this place on Saturday nights, and we've all been there when something just magic happens in here. And I want them to say that they came and they listened, and God said something to them in this place that it was exactly what they needed to hear that week. It's just what I've been talking about. Really. I want to leave this world singing how God gave them such powerful relationships with other believers, other God followers, that you actually change your retirement plans. You change them. Because you just can't stand the thought of leaving the loved ones that God has established for you. I want people singing about that. I want people to leave singing how God took their broken life, the one that was misfiring, that they were ready to quit on over and over and over. God took that broken life and he turned it around and he made it great. And he made me smile again. And he even made me sing. That's what I want people to do. As the worship team comes back, the worship leaders and worship team here, and of course, our prayer team. I want to give you the opportunity there tonight to do just that. To leave singing. Leave with a song in your heart that tells God how awesome he is, how great he is, how incredible his gift has been to you, and maybe even a commitment to say, Lord, I need to raise that percentage. Even if it's 1%, I need to raise it up a little bit, or maybe it's a lot of percent. But Lord, I want to find the life you have for me. Because one day, the story's going to get written that put your name in the blank and say, they were on their bed, they couldn't get warm. What are you going to think about in that moment? At that moment, what are the things that's going to be important to you? Because I believe from what people who've told me who've been there say, it's at that point, it's the people you love and the people you have loved. That's what matters to you. From God himself all the way down to the people who you rub shoulders with at Walmart. Let's worship him together. Lord, I pray that you would help us to think now about the closing summation of our life. What do we want said about us? Lord, David didn't write all those worship songs at the end. It was a life's work. And I pray that you would help us to have a life's work that we can present to you. That when you put it in the fire, it would stand the test of time. Only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, we have people like Miss Candy on the other side. And I just know she would want us to raise that percentage. It's all that's going to matter for eternity. It may just mean something as small as loving and being kind to one another. Or maybe handing out one of our new bookmarks to someone this week. Lord, whatever it is, lead us to it. Help us to be people who are willing hands and obedient feet. And after we've been in contact with people, Lord, I pray that the spirit that remains after we've been there is one that lifts their spirit, even causes them to sing. Now, Lord, keep us strong through the power of your spirit like you did with David. Make yourself great by playing through us. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.